It's time to wake to sleep with the number one sleep authority, Sleep Science Today, and Sleep Better Tonight.
Welcome to Sleep Science Today. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky, and this is a show where we talk about sleep and the science behind sleep. Our guest today is Alejandro Martinez. He is a formation coach for high-performance entrepreneurs, and he's going to be talking to us about sleep and, you guessed it, high-performance folks. So, Alejandro, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Andrew. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, yes. I'm excited to talk with you about this and for us to kind of set the stage. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I would assume you are a high-performance entrepreneur. So tell us, how did you get into that? How does that tie into sleep for you? And give us the whole backstory.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, so I'm a high-formation entrepreneurs coach. I'm a coach for high-performance entrepreneurs. And I am also the co-founder of Kingdom, which is a faith-based platform for leaders, entrepreneurs, coaches. And my journey has been, it's been a roller coaster. It hasn't been linear by any means. I'm born and raised Puerto Rican. I went to school in Washington, D.C. I went there for psychology and business. And while I was there, I actually did an internship at the National Sleep Foundation. And that got me, like, it got me curious into the whole science behind sleep. I think I've always been very ambitious. I've always been very into personal development, self-growth, productivity, all these things. So I had a natural like tendency to just immerse myself in watching videos about how I can improve my sleep, or you know, how can I be more fruitful with my time frame. Everybody has 4 hours, right? But we're all not playing the same game. And so I really wanted to get those strategies. So I did that internship. Fast forward 4 years, I graduated. I moved to Los Angeles to pursue different businesses, right? Like I knew I was going to go into business. I wanted to start my own businesses. So I moved out here. And when I first moved out here, I was working at Cartier because I was in very much the luxury fashion space. So I worked there for a year. And then from there, as I was working there, I was also already establishing my personal brand. But back then, I was doing coaching from a more secular standpoint. I was coaching guys on image, on communication. And it was very driven towards external appearance, right? So a lot of fashion, a lot of, you know, fitness. But still very much interested, you know, in the personal journey of growth and development. However, God encountered me 5 years ago and completely flipped my life. I was quite literally at rock bottom because I moved here to LA, and to be honest, I couldn't really afford living here, but my parents have been very supportive. However, it got to a point where I got a call from my mom saying, hey, like, we're bankrupt. And I was like, wait, what? Like, how did we get here, right? Like, we've always been well off. I went to one of the, you know, top 10 expensive schools in the country, got a great education, and now I was here. But I have been putting a lot of facades when it came to my external achievements, but I wasn't focusing on my internal growth, right? Mm-hmm. My health, first and foremost. And so that led me on a whole healing journey the past 4 years. And from there, I decided to go into the coaching space. But now with a perspective of really helping men identify their purpose, their meaning, and their identities, especially outside of any business, any career, any goals. So it's been a very rewarding journey, but it's also been filled with obstacles, roadblocks. It's a journey of a lifetime. I'm very grateful.
Wow, that sounds like a lot there. Yes. Well, we're glad to have you. You know, I want to go back to something you said because I'm curious. From the National Sleep Foundation, when you were working with them, can you tell us, like, how did you even choose to work with them in the first place? And what types of things did you learn when you were there? Give us a little bit more on that one.
Yeah, so I remember I was a sophomore. I was a sophomore in college, and I, at the time, was studying pre-med. I was, you know, I was very passionate about the health industry, and I thought I was going to go on to be a doctor and a surgeon. So I was following the pre-med route, and I remember I finished my sophomore year, and I was looking for different internships that I could get into. And then the National Sleep Foundation came across when I was doing the search, and it just piqued my curiosity. I actually didn't even know that existed. So it piqued my curiosity, and I remember applying for, it was a hybrid role between an administrative position and then business operations, which I thought was also very very in my alley, because I was studying, I was pre-med, but then I was also double majoring in business. So I always had that business acumen that I wanted to sharpen. So I applied, and I believe they interviewed me once, and then from there they took me on. It was a 2.5 month internship, and I learned a lot. I learned a lot of things. I think first and foremost, I learned like how corporate environments and corporate settings work, because that was essentially my first experience working. Well, second technically, but for an extended period of time working within the corporate setting. And because it was very niche to what we're doing, I think one of the biggest things that I learned was the research, right? The research behind sleep and what goes into endowing, funding research projects, what that entails, and specifically within the sleep sector. And I think a lot of what I learned was how to properly educate people on the importance of sleep, the vitality of sleep, and then the repercussions of not, necessarily engaging with proper sleep. But that obviously looks very different for different demographics, different ethnicities, different age groups. So it was a very interesting mix of learning about like the sleep science, and then also learning about people and cultures and ways of living and how they interplay. So I think it was very enriching. I definitely left that internship being more aligned, and I would say very much more interested in the health sciences. However, I finished I graduated and I studied psychology and business, but I didn't go on to med school. I pivoted down the line to more the business route. Mm-hmm. But I think that internship really helped me appreciate, understand, and then also advocate from a more knowledgeable standpoint when it comes to sleep, recovery, resting, and then applying that specifically to your body, right? To your mental needs, to your emotional needs, your professional needs.
Right. So I would guess that helped you as you ventured into your own business and your own, becoming a founder of your own company. Tell us, how did you recognize that sleep was more important than putting in a couple extra hours of work? Because, if you're a founder, you got a lot of things on your plate. You've got endless emails to respond to, endless meetings, endless, next steps that you're waiting to get to. And there's not enough hours in a day. So a lot of people figure, well, let's just kind of push through and sleep can wait till later. What did you learn about that?
That's a great question. I think one of the biggest premises that I've come to understand is that it's a marathon, not a sprint, right? And I think before I was operating as if life was more of a sprint, right? And I was just, grinding, especially within that time frame, because I was in college. So I remember just pulling up all these all-nighters, studying, staying, from sunset to sunrise, and quite honestly, feeling pretty proud of myself, right? Like, I'm here grinding, and I'm, staying up, and I'm getting the essays done and the papers and taking the tests. But inevitably, I felt my body and my mind just, getting to the point of collapse. And I think, your body gives you signs, right? So oftentimes, it's not that we're not aware, it's that we just choose to ignore them. So I think that was a very pivotal season, because I would see how my peers would just do the same thing that I was doing and completely normalize it as if it was, completely fine. Like, you're a student, that's what you're expected to do, you just gotta push through, maybe take an Adderall or take something to stay focused and keep working towards what you need to get done. That never really worked for me, but I sort of convinced myself that it was, just to give myself that dopamine of well, just do what I need to do. But I think that internship really helped me to clarify, hey, you know what? No matter what route you take in life, whether you're going to go in business or you're going to be an athlete, right, or you're going to go into research, we all have one body to take care of, right? I mean, it's not like we get more bodies as time goes on, and our minds and our bodies are really, one of the two of the most important gifts that I believe God has given us to to take mm-hmm. care of, to enjoy, and then also to utilize that, you know, to further our goals and the things that we engage with on the daily. So I think that graduating college and then stepping into the workforce, but at the same time also starting my companies, I realized, okay, I now have control partially over my schedule, and I need to make sure that I'm taking care of my body, right? I have to be scheduling workouts at least 30 minutes to an hour every day, at least 5 days a week, right? I need to make sure that I'm in bed at a certain time, because if I don't, then I'm not going to be optimal the next day, right? The people that are depending on me or that need me at my best are not going to get that, right? If I don't get at least 7 to 8 hours, I'm not going to perform my best. And so I started really getting, you know, more curious about different techniques. I remember at the time I was exploring with, when it came to like sleep productivity, I remember doing the Pomodoro technique and being like, okay, I'm going to like lock in and like no interruptions for like 45 minutes. I'm going to get these tasks done. And then once I'm done with that, I'm going to take 5 to 10 minutes to rest, right? And maybe that looks like just going for a like stroll, or maybe that means, you know, just literally like pondering my thoughts. Maybe that's like a 10-minute power nap. So I started toying with all these things, and I think what it helped me was to understand myself better, kind of steer away from what society tells you, or what you're seeing online, or what, like, you know, like the hustle culture, like, you know, unless you're working more than, you know, 12 hours a day, you're not going to become a millionaire. All these things are very much not true.
Right. Well, so let me back up again to get some more information on one part of this, because I would really want to kind of get a full flavor of this. So you said that when you were in school, you were trying to push through, and you saw a lot of other, you know, colleagues and students trying to do the same thing. And then you said that your body was giving you signs and signals that maybe not have been the best thing for you. Can you give us a little bit more detail on what types of things were happening? What did you notice? You know, how did you eventually figure out that this is something that is going to require me to actually sleep, as opposed to, oh, I'm just being lazy, I should really just push through?
Yeah, I think one of the first signs that I got was growing up, I never really drank coffee too much, right? I would drink it very, very sporadically for the taste, because I do like the taste, but I was never really hung to coffee. And I noticed that was one of the first habits that I picked up when I started my undergrad studies, is that I started drinking coffee, like, you know, very consistently, and not just like once a day. I started drinking like multiple times a day, and just started developing this dependency on coffee to just get me through the day, right? Like, boost me, give me the energy that I need. But, I mean, obviously, as you understand it, coffee being stimulant, like, it just creates these spikes, right? These ups and downs, and it creates a dependency. And I noticed that the days when I wouldn't drink coffee, I would just be very groggy. Like, my state of mind, my mood would just be affected overall. I wouldn't be as sharp, I'd be cloudy, I would go into these, you know, lecture rooms to take my classes, and I find myself like spacing out, not really being engaged. So I figured, I was like, well, I've now created a dependency on this substance, and much like any other substance, right, like if you're not consuming it, you're going to feel the withdrawal because of it. Mind you, at the time too, Andrew, I did start smoking weed, which is definitely not beneficial. So the mood swings were very, like, they would fluctuate very wildly. And so because of that too, and because of the routines that I was essentially not establishing and disregarding, I would find myself studying from, like, say, I would end classes, like, anything between 5 to 6 p.m. I'd probably, like, you know, eat something, shower, and then go back to the library, do my assignment, study, and then do that for, like, the next, like, 8 hours to, like, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., right? And I just normalized that. But then the next morning, I would snooze the alarms, right? I couldn't wake up, right? I was late to classes. And so, you know, but the thing is, like, I think all of that becomes very normalized, because I'm not the only person doing that, right? Like, I'm seeing my peers, like, doing the same thing or even worse. And so I'm sitting here thinking, well, it's not too bad, you know? Like, that's just normal. Like, that's the college experience, right? That's the college life. For the you're here, you got to, like, push through, you have classes, and you go party on the weekends, and you do it all over again. And, yeah, I'd say, like, you know, the coffee thing was the one. Then the other thing was when I would go work out, I would just feel very drained even before like the workout. Mm-hmm. And I can acknowledge, you know, like a part of it would be like for sure like the stress of the day or, you know, like the burden of having to still, you know, carry on with the responsibilities. All these things are factors, but I know for sure like the lack of sleep was affecting me because I couldn't properly execute. And I would go to the gym at first when I first started my my fitness journey. I would go and I'd do a couple exercises here and there, but I wouldn't actually be as disciplined as I knew I wanted to be. So that I know was definitely in some way correlated to the lack of sleep. And then I'd say the third thing would be that I didn't recognize, like I thought like the sleep itself was not, like I got into the trap of believing the myth that like sleep is not necessary, right? And so I think I convinced myself psychologically to think that, well, the sleep might not, like, sure, I could sleep, but if I don't sleep, it's not the end of the world, like it's not bad, right? Until I would go like maybe days sleeping like three, four hours, sometimes even less. And wow. then my body would literally collapse and be like, okay, now you have to sleep for like a whole weekend because you literally are like, you've exhausted yourself.
Wow. Okay. Well, those are some great examples. Let's do this. Let's take a break and we'll come back. And I want to carry through that conversation a little bit more. So stay tuned to Sleep Science Today. We'll be right back after the break, and we're going to continue our conversation with Alejandro Martinez.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Be sure to visit sleepsciencetoday.com for access to all of our channels and special offers.
Sleep Science Today. And sleep better tonight.
All right, welcome back to Sleep Science Today. We are having an interesting conversation with Alejandro Martinez. So you were sharing with us the signs that you recognized that something, you know, really required you to be sleeping more. And I'm going to get into all the things that you did in just a minute, but I am curious, because you had so many friends and colleagues who were doing the same thing in terms of pushing through and ignoring their sleep, did any of them ever experience or express to you that they were experiencing the same types of things that you were experiencing?
Excuse me. Yes, they did. Numerous times, but they expressed it as not necessarily a concern or something that they felt they were struggling with, they expressed it more so like with a sense of pride. I'm like, hey, look at me, like I'm not sleeping and I'm still partying all night and I've still got energy to like, you know, go take classes and do this. So it was very unhealthy. It was from a very unhealthy standpoint. I also will say, because my friends also at the time were involved in substance use, specifically smoking weed, I think a lot of the times their judgment would just be cloudy and inhibited, right, by the substance. But it also kept them awake longer, for longer periods of time, without necessarily, like, you know, being conscious of, like, hey, it's a certain time, I've already been up all day, I've completed my tasks, I've been through the day, I need to rest now. You know, video games was a thing for them too. I never really played video games too much, but I know for them, like, staying up and, you know, playing with other friends, like, whether they were there with them in person, or with us, or online, you know, other parts of the world. So I think the lack of discipline, the lack of awareness and understanding that, hey, you're doing all these things now, and maybe you're young and your body has a little more tolerance, but as you progress in life, as you mature, as you get older, this is not going to sustain you. You know, this is going to work on it's going to sabotage you, and it's going to work against you. So I think it was interesting, because at the time also I was not super convicted about my own choices in regards to sleeping more or even allocating time to rest. And I wasn't super aware of my own body functions. I just kind of operated based on like the moment, right? And then planning based on what I do, but I also wasn't really looking for other resources, which is why when I then, you know, left the Sleep Foundation, I realized, I was like, wait, I cannot be operating based on how, you know, my immediate peers are operating. I really need to take this seriously. And I have to be conscious also. I have to understand my body more, right? I have to understand my energy levels. I have to understand what I'm consuming food-wise. How is that affecting my overall energy? What times do I need to be resting? You know, how does that impact also in my performance with academics, extracurriculars, all these things?
Mm-hmm. So you come to this realization for yourself that, hey, I need to make a change here because my body is telling me that I need to make a change and I need to listen to it. Is that change that you started to make, you were still in school at the time?
Yeah, I was still in school, but it was different because, so the first 2.5 years of college, I was living in dorms with my roommates and friends. Then my third year, I went abroad for a semester, and then I came back, and then I moved off campus. So then by that time, then I got my own place, my own apartment, and I would say it was definitely easier for me to fall into my routine rather than, like, you know, conforming necessarily to theirs.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like once you got your own place is when you were able to start making the changes that you made, right?
Yeah, especially with the environment, right? Because one of the biggest things is, and I think this is something that I've always navigated, even since I was younger, is that I need certain things to be in place for me to fall asleep. I'm not a super light sleeper, and it also takes me, now not as much, but before it used to take me at least like a good like 30 minutes to an hour to fall asleep, and I would just tumble around the bed, you know, searching for like a good like position, like, you know, comfortability in the pillow, or just like quiet my thoughts, quiet my mind, which tends to rush. But then now, imagine that being in a room with, like, you know, in an apartment or in a dorm room with, like, 4 other guys or 3 other guys, and they're playing video games or they're cooking, girlfriend, you know, and it's like, well, sure, you can communicate certain boundaries, but at the end of the day, like, it is a shared space, so I'm still going to be a recipient of certain things, much like they are as well, from, you know, from my end, too. It's not like I'm the only one who's losing here. But then, yeah, once I moved out, I'm like, great, I have my own place, I get to set it up, I structure it, I also have my routine, so if by a certain time I do want to go to bed, I shut down everything, I go to bed, nobody's going to be there to, you know, to counter that or to disrupt the cycle. So yeah, that definitely helped.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now what I'd really love to have you break down for us is, so you get to this point, you realize I need to make a change, you're now in a better environment where you can actually do that. What specific changes did you make, and how did you know to make those changes versus some different change?
Yeah, I think at first it was just exploring, right? Because like I told you, it would cause me a lot to fall asleep, and I didn't necessarily understand why. So my first trial started with different substances, right? So I was like, okay, let me try melatonin. Like, I've heard that might help some people fall asleep. Didn't necessarily help me, you know, obviously certain doses depending on, and also depending on the weight of the day. But overall, I tried it for close to a year, didn't really help me. I was smoking weed too, right? So I thought, like, well, if I smoke weed, I'm probably gonna, like, you know, it'll suppress my nervous system, I'll get tired, and then I'll just fall asleep. But quite the opposite, like, I would actually try to fall asleep, but my mind would just keep rushing with more thoughts and more, you know, things to do and inputs and this, and so it really didn't help me. But then once I got to, like, move out, I was like, okay, maybe it's an environmental thing. So maybe I do need to have, you know, a certain aroma. So I started getting candles. I started getting humidifiers and, like, you know, purifying the room. And I started experimenting with playing white noise music at night, or, you know, at a certain time, like, you know, turning off the electronics and then leaving them outside the room so that that area would just be, like, prepped up when I went to bed. And I think that helped to some degree. But I still think that I struggle with, like, the rushing thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that had to do with the way that I was viewing myself back then, and not having a full understanding of, hey, like, you have all these responsibilities, you're going to school, you're working, you're doing things, but at the end of the day, these things don't define you, right? These are, people always have more things to do, right? Every day is going to bring its own challenges, there's always going to be things to do. You might not cross your full to-do list, but as long as you're working with intention and purpose, and you understand who you are, and you're building the relationships, you know, and you're putting yourself in the situations where you want to go towards, everything is going to be all right. And I don't have to be stressing out about what's going to be happening in 5 days or next week or in 2 months, right? And so I think rewiring and, like, reframing that mentally has helped me kind of, like, declutter. Also journaling and writing things down. I think that's one of the biggest things that have helped me, is a lot of the time the thoughts that I have, if they're fleeting thoughts, fine, I can just let them go. But if there are things that I'm, like, concerned about because there are responsibilities or tasks or things that I have to handle and not for the business, like, I'll write them down so that I can just completely empty my mind from that, and then it doesn't have to take space here.
Right.
So those things, you know, have helped me throughout time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, yeah, I mean, journaling, exactly as you described, is one great way to kind of empty your brain before you get into bed. But you had also mentioned before, I think you said that you incorporated exercise and even a diet in terms of the foods you were eating. So tell us, number one, did exercise and diet have an impact on you? If so, what? And then what specifically did you do? What type of exercises and what type of diet did you choose?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's been an interesting journey. I started my health and fitness journey 5.5 years ago, close to six now. It was 2020, like mid-2020, during COVID. I started at the gym. I think the gym was the easiest thing, the most accessible thing to me. We had a gym on campus, but then when I moved out, I also had a gym in my building. So I started working out at least like 30 to 40 minutes, five days a week. And that was very interesting because I experimented. Well, when I was in school, I mainly worked out at night, right? Because I didn't really have too much time in the mornings. So I worked out at night, and I would come back, have a meal, shower, wrap up, and then go to sleep. I think as far as connecting the workout, the exercise to the sleep, it did help because my body was just, like, tired, right? Like, I exhausted myself to the point where now I just wanted to, like, lay down and rest. Mm-hmm. Now with the foods, it's been a very peculiar journey because I think, and I'm still figuring out, I have always loved carbs, right? Like anything that has to do with rice, pasta, you know, grains, like I love them. And so for a long time, a lot of my meals would be very carb heavy. And I think that that necessarily is not bad, right? Depending on your health and fitness goals, but when it comes to energy levels, feeling restful or not, I think that has definitely impacted me, because a lot of the times if I would eat carbs like heavily multiple times a day, it just drains my energy and I get tired, right? So whether that would be like in the morning, if I'm having like a very carb heavy breakfast and I'm going to school, it might be 9:30 a.m. and I just woke up like 2 hours ago, but I'm still tired, right? Like I'm really tired, and it doesn't necessarily have to do with like I've already slept maybe like 6, 7, 8 hours, but I'm still feeling tired. So that was a process of me like understanding like, okay, I might have to cut down on these carbs and then just, you know, replenish that with maybe some fruits or some antioxidants. So I started changing my diet. I started with a lot of diets as well. I did keto, I did Atkins, I did intermittent fasting. And to be honest, none of them really proved to be sustainable for me. What has worked the best overall, like longitudinally, has been just intuitively eating, but then understanding what I'm eating in certain time frames of the day based on also, well, now I use this app called Rise that kind of like has my biometrics, and it tracks my sleep, it tracks what I'm eating, it tracks the tasks that I'm getting into every day, and then it kind of gives me like a scan and a schedule of like, well, hey, these are the peak hours when you're going to be like the most energized, these are the times when you're probably going to be like curbing down and you might and you will have to rest, right? And then at certain times you shouldn't be eating these kind of meals. So that has played an integral role in me like learning more about myself and figuring out my rest and my sleep schedules too.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. So this is actually a perfect spot for our second break here. So let's take the second break, and then I want to come back and I want to learn about now. Today you're doing coaching, so I want to learn more about that and how that all fits in. So we will be back in just a minute on Sleep Science Today.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
The station that makes you feel good.
Be sure to visit sleepsciencetoday.com for access to all of our channels and special offers.
Sleep Science Today. And sleep better tonight.
All right. We're back on Sleep Science Today. We're talking with Alejandro Martinez, and he is a formation coach for high-performance entrepreneurs. So, Alejandro, being a high-performance entrepreneur yourself, you've given us sort of the background and your journey, the things that you learned from your real experience, and you found ways that helped you better with your sleep, and you understood how sleep helped your performance better. So, tell us when you think about like a C-suite executive, right? And they've got all sorts of things on their plate and all sorts of worries and problems they have to deal with. What would you say in your experience is the biggest sabotaging pattern that they have that prevents them from getting the sleep that they need?
That's a great question. I think one of the biggest things that I notice with my clients, people that I work with, and even in conversations with other founders and entrepreneurs, is a lot of executives at that level tend to be perfectionists and tend to obsess over control. And so I'd say control is one of the biggest things that, to a certain degree, is necessary, but once you get to a certain point, you need to be able to delegate properly, right? You need to be able to outsource, and you need to build systems and teams that can essentially operate without you, because otherwise, you probably went into building a business thinking that you wanted freedom, but now you're basically a prisoner to people, and you're a prisoner to tasks, and you're a prisoner to, you know, people want to dump things into you and get your perspective on this and meet with this person. So I think that it all goes hand in hand, because the leaders that I work with, a lot of the times they don't have any problems with their portfolio, they don't have any problems with, you know, the numerical statistics of how the business are doing, the strategies. What they're struggling with the most is identity and understanding how the rhythms work for them, right? And again, we're all exposed to the same information. If you go on YouTube now, I'm pretty sure, depending on the algorithm, right, and the things that you're interested in, it's gonna feed you an overload of things from the, you know, leaders in the space of what you're consuming. And so for these entrepreneurs, it's the same thing, right? Now, they might not have as much time to engage with that, but if they're getting fed information from people, you know, from colleagues, from partners, from clients, that is not necessarily accurate, then it creates a gap. And so I think that sleep is definitely a big one, right? A lot of founders, they don't necessarily, on average, from what I've seen, a lot of the founders that I work with, they get anything between 4 to 5 hours of sleep max, and they treat that as if that was 10 hours. You know, like they're really thinking that that is, like, that's great, like I got 4 hours, what more do I need? It's perfectly fine. There's things to take care of. I got people calling me. You know, we have to keep it going. And I think a lot of that is what really, you know, drives them to stress. And that's what causes the burnout. That's what causes the anxiety. That's what causes the depression. You know, because it all adds up to be, it starts as something as small as like, hey, you know, I cannot commit to this. Please remove this from my calendar. Or let's actually find a more strategic way to tackle this. Let's not take 2 hours to have a meeting and then just get updates. Let's actually make decisions, and then let's evaluate, analyze the data, and then move forward and iterate. Because those things consume time during the day that they actually need to get back so that they can focus then on optimizing their health.
Right, right. So, you know, here you are a coach, and you're working with folks that have these issues. How do you get them to understand that and make that change? Or actually, I should ask, have you found that you're getting success in doing that? Because maybe they're not going to change. I don't know. What's your experience?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yes, I have. I think it all starts with belief, right? That's the biggest thing. So I essentially coach my clients based on a framework that I built, and a course called Reborn and Rebuild. And the five pillars on that course are identity, habits, accountability, security and boundaries, and then leadership. And the biggest thing is identity, right? And identity starts with belief, and it starts with what you believe about yourself and who you are and how you exemplify that to others, right? Through your habits, through your how you show up in your day-to-day, right? And so I think the biggest thing is reframing the belief, because, again, a lot of these founder logics and entrepreneurs really don't believe that they have enough time to get everything done, that they just need to be continuously stretched thin in so many directions, thinking that that is just fine, that's just the name of the game, right? That's why they got to business, knowing that they would have to sleep very, very, you know, few hours, and they'd just be up at night, and they would be cranking projects and calling stakeholders and, you know, making decisions. But I think a simple reframe is believing from a place of lack and scarcity to then a place of abundance, right? Mm-hmm. So when somebody comes to me and is like, hey, you know, well, yeah, I only have 24 hours in a day, right? And I ask them, like, well, how many hours do you think I have? They're like, well, yeah, of course, you have 24 hours too, right? And it's like, right. But the difference is not the hours that we have per day. The difference is how you're allocating your time, how you're protecting it or not, right? And how you're choosing, you know, if I always say, time is the currency of purpose. And if you don't allocate it, somebody else is going to budget it according to how they perceive it, right? So a simple reframe of believing from lag, hey, I don't have enough time, hey, I don't have I don't have enough people on the team, I don't have the right structure, I do have this, I just need to prioritize it, and I need to be intentional about the time that I'm allocating to this, and then taking into consideration what the overall mission and goal of goal building is, right? For some people, right, they just don't necessarily need 8 hours of sleep, but they might need six, right? And mm-hmm. the 6 hours of sleep are helping them, you know, have optimal health to show up in their meetings, in their careers, in their jobs, but most importantly, with your families, right? The people at home, the kids, because at the end of the day, that's one of the biggest things that I coach these entrepreneurs on, right? Is you've exited the business, right? You've really amassed an amount of wealth that if you were to make more money, the returns at this point are marginal as far as like the capital, right? What you really want is time back, and you want to be able to have the freedom to actually spend that time with the people that you love. And you have the time too. It's not like you don't have it, but you bought yourself the time. But you have these different pattern cycles and thought patterns that don't allow you to really like move in the direction that you need to. So I say that simple reframe is one. Then I think, you know, habits is a big one, because habits ultimately are just a reflection of your identity. So you can do things too. A lot of founders, they already have like, you know, a lot of habits in place, right? It's not like they're completely like erroneous, but those habits are not reinforcing the person that they actually want to become. They're more so dictating a narrative of who they were and what served them to get to the point that they're in, right? So it's the same way that if, you know, whatever it took them to get from $0 to $1 million worked in that capacity, but what worked to get them from $0 to $1 million is not going to take them now to $10 million, right? And it's a whole set of like different patterns and frameworks and systems. So that's the second thing, is like the habits, oftentimes, you know, quick little things that they might not be aware of, right? Maybe it's, you know, after a meeting, they stay another like 30 minutes having coffee with somebody, when it's like, well, you actually, what you need to do is maybe just go outside, go for a walk, and process as the business owner, like, how are you going to navigate this next? Like, what are the next steps for you and for the team? So small things like that when it comes to the habits. And then, you know, it just comes down to the repeatability, right? The consistency. Because they are consistent already in the way that they are, but then breaking that and reshifting to the new identity, the new patterns, is what takes time.
Yeah, yeah. And I wonder, you know, do any of them who actually listen to you and start making these changes, do they ever report back to you that now that they gave themselves the opportunity to actually get the sleep that they need, that they're seeing things, it's almost like they can work faster, quicker, see things better. Do they report that to you?
Yeah, it's been mixed. You know, I have definitely had I've had founders that come to me and they're like, hey, you know what, like, because of the way, you know, because of how we've been working on, I do now feel like I have less control over certain things that I've surrendered, but ironically, surrendering that control has now given me control over my time, and sleep being one of the things that they're prioritizing, it has helped them. I think a lot of the guys that I do work with that have not necessarily experienced a breakthrough yet in that area, it has to do very, it correlates very directly with pride. And so, you know, pride is one of the biggest things, especially with the men at this stage, right? Because they have huge egos. They've built things. They've seen it all, right? They've amassed a lot of, not just wealth, but also status and power. And, you know, they enter a room, they know that they're going to command certain respect, which is fine. But then what happens in the intimacy when it's 3 a.m. and it's just doing your thoughts, right? And you cannot fall asleep. You're thinking about, you know, your daughter has a recital tomorrow, but you're about to fly out of town to meet with your client. And it's like, yeah, it's part of your business, it's part of, you know, your life. But at the same time, could you have actually taken that meeting remotely and perhaps, you know, not scheduled that flight and then taken that time to go spend time with your daughter, right? Mm-hmm. And so we worked through a lot of all these things. It takes some, you know, it is a very case-by-case basis, right? So some are very prone to resist at first, and so because they've not necessarily tried it before, or because they've done certain things that have helped them, they struggle with surrendering that pride. And I think sleep is one of them. Sleep is one of them because a lot of them, you know, when it comes to sleep, it's like, well, I've been operating for the past 20 years on 3 to 4 hours of sleep a day, right? Like, why would I now switch to, you know, getting 6 or 7? Like, if anything, I need to have those hours to be awake to work, right, or do certain things. But I think when they actually then allow themselves to, like, you know what, let's give it a try, right? Like, let's see how this goes. If they're radically open and aware to trying different things, in the long run, it does help them out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's, you know, I think that's one of the hardest things is that mindset. And when someone makes the change and then they actually see the improvement in their performance and their thinking and the clarity and all that when they're getting good sleep, then they become sold. But prior to that, like you said, because of ego and because of habit and because of all the, you know, similar people around them trying to work through as many hours as they can, it's hard for them to allow themselves to kind of take that leap and try the different thing. But, you know, each person has to come there on their own. And you certainly described your own experience where you were not getting the sleep you needed. You finally realized you've started to get it, and then you incorporated your exercise, your food, the different things, and now you're in a much better place. So we are actually out of time for today. So let me ask you this. If people wanted to get in touch with you and learn more about the coaching and the work that you do, how would they do that?
Yeah, they could definitely follow me on social media. So Instagram, it's at @ale_forms. And then they can also follow us at Join the Kingdom. On YouTube, it's at Alejandro Martinez -KCWAG. And then on TikTok is at Ale Coaches. And then they'll find all the information that they need about myself, booking, you know, discovery call, how to work with me, and everything that I do throughout those channels.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. This has been another episode of Sleep Science Today. Feel free to visit our website, sleepsciencetoday.com, where you'll find access to all of our radio shows. You can see the YouTube version or the audio version, whichever one works best for you. And we have a new episode out each week. So we will see you next week on Sleep Science Today.
You have been listening to Sleep Science Today, your number one sleep authority.
Sleep Science Today.